In the name of our liberating God, who leads us into life. Amen. So there was an article a couple of weeks ago in the New Yorker called The Rise of the Super Yachts. So these are pleasure craft that are over 100 feet long, some of them much longer than that. And in 2021, there were nearly 900 of them sold, and that was double what it was the year before. And in 2022, there were over 1,000 backordered in addition to all of the ones being sold. And there's now even a class called the Giga Yachts. And these are now, as the author said, the most expensive item our species has figured out how to own. They sell for well over $250 million apiece. And everyone who owns them knows that they are not good investments because of how fast they depreciate and how much it takes them to stay afloat every year. But as one owner said, they are the best way to absorb the most excess capital. Sounds like a modern day version of the parable. I know what I'll do with all this excess. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And I will eat and drink and be merry. And of course, the divine voice says, "You fool. Tonight, it's over. And then, whose will this be?" Or as the prophet from Ecclesiastes says, vanity, all this, vanity. I think maybe our climate crisis might be something like this written large in a collective way. Build bigger barns, but at what cost? For whom? So the brilliance of Jesus' parable, as he tells it, is, I think, all his parables actually, is that they cast this a net wide to catch all the fish, to give everyone a place to from which to learn and grow. So I admit, as I was reading this article, I started feeling a bit smug. Vanity. It was ridiculous. Can you imagine? Well, at least I'm not like that. And then I thought, wait a minute, if Jesus is casting the net wide, then if I'm going to listen well, the question is not, am I like that, but how am I like that? Where is greed rising in my own life? How am I trying to buffer or pad or protect my life against the unpredictable or the uncontrollable? How does my insecurity with having enough make me start to grasp for more? More of what? How does that perspective then start to create a tunnel vision so that what makes sense from one point of view is actually absurd from a larger point of view? How does it make me miss the bigger picture? How am I than not trusting God for enough now? Greed is not just for people with super yachts or giga yachts. It shows up in all our lives whenever we try to fill that gap with something that flows against the nature of deeper reality, God, in a way that possesses or dominates or controls. So for me, as I reflected on this through the week, saying, where is it in my life? The answer was mundane and quotidian, but still real. My greed shows up in my need to get it right, to do the right thing, to be the good boy, to have everything in order, to make everything come out right, keep everybody happy. For me, it's trying to control the bottom line, trying to be in control of the outcome of things rather than just responding with resilience to whatever comes. My lack of faith that I actually do always have what I need in this moment. Enough. We each have our own version of how we miss the mark by using the wrong tools. So this parable invites us all into this deeper reflection of where greed shows up in our lives. Now that could sound like a real downer on a hot Sunday in the summer, but it's actually really a positive investigation. Jesus often uses, if you look at his parables, he's often pointing out the problem and not even giving an answer sometimes, just sort of intuiting an answer around the edges, which brings us into this thin space where we can break through our old patterns and habits and addictions and suddenly find something more real and new and exhilarating. That's the way it is right here in this one. Before I came to St. Paul's, I was the director of the Trinity Wall Street Retreat Center up in northwest Cornwall, a little village in northwest corner of Connecticut. And the Episcopal priest of that little parish church was also a lay Buddhist teacher and had a weekly meditation circle that I participated in. And the way that meditation circle always began was with a kind of Buddhist version of confession called the Bodhisattva vows. One of them always caught my attention like a snag. Greed, hatred, and ignorance rise endlessly. I vow to abandon them. Now, at first it felt so depressing to say, greed, hatred, and ignorance rise endlessly. Ugh, we're never going to get past this. We're never going to conquer this one, evolve beyond it. But then over time, I became more curious about that second half. I vow to abandon them. But there was this eternal opportunity offered every day to point my ship in a different direction, if not 180, at least one degree, to say, this is my intention. This is the way I will live my life. And look toward abandoning those things, which means looking for where they actually show up in life. I think we've all been in boot camp during COVID time, learning just that lesson. How little we can control, at least in the outcomes, but how much power we have in the moment to respond to what has happened or what is happening. That's a lot of power. The power of release and abandonment, of receiving all that comes. And learning that is a huge gift of God, especially for a community of faith, where we can embrace it then more intentionally and do this deep spiritual work that is so needed now and in the months and years and decades to come of learning how to live together. To really become resilient and flexible and creative and responsive and generous and life-giving to and for others in a fearful time when our instinct is just to grab as much as what's left and keep it for ourselves and for our own. Yes, greed, hatred, and ignorance will rise endlessly. And you know what? That is actually just a normal human response, a species that can imagine forward and remember backward and doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow and can't predict it. and can make a mess of the world doing that. What we can do is daily vow, intend, and practice another way, abandoning that. What's this other way that changes the world and brings us into right relationship with creation? Well, it starts with the blessing that we've been using at the end of the liturgy. It's the blessing of St. Clare of Assisi, spiritual brother of St. Francis. It's what she used in her community in other difficult times a long time ago. At the end of the liturgy, she would say to her sisters, "Live without fear. Your Creator has made you holy, has always protected you, and loves you as a mother. Live without fear." I think that is the core and the fruit of radical welcome here at St. Paul's. That experience of coming in and being held and embraced in a bath of acceptance, not in spite of who we are, but just as we are. Realizing that is God's love. That is who we are in God and who God is in us, that then gives us enough to offer to others and discover this generating cycle that giving it away makes more of itself. And now I'm giving away next week's sermon, because this is sort of a two-parter. Jesus is next week saying, here's how you can make purses for yourself that won't wear out, how you can have something to spend forever. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, this week, it's worth spending some time just noticing the gap. That place where we feel the gap. I think that greed comes in because we close up the gap before we even know it's there. Like, where's that gap that I'm feeling not enough, insecure? Just notice then, and the barn building. Where do I build a barn to you know, get more? Ponder what you might be ready to let go of, to abandon. Sometimes it's stuff, but sometimes it's an attitude or a conviction or a resentment or something that's like, oh, I'm holding on to that. Why am I holding on to this? This is not abundance. Abandoning those things allows us to discover more deeply who we are in God, who God is in us, which is the point of all of this. And then just live with abandon. It was Martin Luther, I think, yeah, who said, this doesn't sound like Martin Luther, but listen in here. Love God and then do what you will. Love God and then just do what you will. That is better than a super yacht. It gives and just keeps on giving. So let's try it for a week and come back and hear what else Jesus says about how to do this next. Amen.